I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin, joining me always, Christopher Willie Yum Yum Glasson. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, mate. Full of pizza now.
Yeah, I know. We just had a little chat, didn't we? And you mentioned that your missus is away. Yeah, cold pizza in the fridge.
Yeah, and the builders were there this morning, and I was like, do I start eating pizza at 10 o'clock out of the fridge? So I managed to hold off for another like half hour before the urge came too strong.
Well, I can just picture you just pulling a slice of pizza, cold pizza out of the fridge, just like probably opened a can of lager as well, just to look like a proper geezer in front of the builders. All right, boys, how's it going?
I necked a bottle of vodka neat in front of them. It was just water in the bottle, but they don't know that.
No, they don't. Have you been acting like a proper bloke around
builders? I actually said to Jay this morning, who's down, I was like, how are you getting on? He's like, yeah, cool, man, just fitting in some noggins.
Yeah, and sweet, bruv, sweet.
And I went, yeah, sweet. And then I went, you do realise, Jay, that I'm just feeling like an imposter now and I don't feel hard enough to talk to you, masculine enough to talk to you. And he's like, yeah, we get that all the time. Blokes suddenly start talking a bit more geezer when the plumbers are in or the builders.
Okay, yeah, well, look, lads, we've got a guest today.
Yes.
And so it gives us great pleasure. We've been talking about doing this one for a while. I've got a pube? I've got a hair caught in my glasses feeling it keeps irritating me, aren't I?
Definitely.
What a wonderful introduction. We are joined today by the wonderful Ellie Lucas. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. You all right?
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you.
Good. You've got a proper posh setup, studio.
Yeah.
I've hijacked my way into a little studio just to make myself look like I know what I'm doing, which is all guesswork. So.
Hey, well, you're in good company because that is basically our life is guesswork on this podcast, Ellie. We never let a fact get in the way of just us assuming things. And also, I mean, I must have got the leopard print memo because, we're both wearing
I'm
it.
Where's you did.
Where's yours, Stu?
Double leopard skin.
Double. Yeah. Always. Yeah. Always.
That's weird. Yous are really challenging some Pat Butcher vibes today.
Are you wearing your leopard skin pants again, Stu? Probably.
Standard.
No,
standard.
Yeah. Peter Stringfellow style.
Well, look, let's introduce you properly for those that don't know. Tell us a little bit about what you do, Ellie.
I'm a bass player, basically. Well, among other things, but I play bass for Tom Meehan, who's the old singer of Kasabian, and I play for my own band Taunts as well. But yeah, just trying to make it along. Playing a bit of bass.
Well, I'd say you've done more to make it along, given that you play with Tom and you've got your own band. It's doing really well. How long have you been playing? When did you start?
Oh, God. So I probably started when I was about 16. That was when I was in my first band. So that is a long old time ago. I can't do quick maths, but it's a long time.
A while.
Yeah.
But to sort of fast forward to of late, and I mean, let's give this some extra context. Like some of the shows that you've been playing with Tom, out on doing shows with Noel Gallagher, playing huge outdoor spaces and that. I mean, that's pretty fucking cool, right?
Oh, it's fucking ridiculous. My childhood self would not have like believed it. We're literally 3 weeks today. We play Wembley.
Wow.
It's fucking Wembley. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, that's a pinch me moment. So yeah, I'm just bricking it until Wembley now.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, that's like, so cool.
I'm playing Wembley. Not everyone's many people dream to say that.
Mm.
It's just sinking in this moment as we say it out loud. But yeah. Yeah, that is pretty epic, to be honest.
How do you, I mean, I should say, how do you deal with nerves? Do you get nervous for shows?
Oh, yeah, 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 definitely. I always think, like, it doesn't matter if I'm playing to, like, two people or 10,000 people that it will be in these shows coming up, I'm always nervous. I think the first tour we did with Tom, we were all had, like, a frenetic energy, so it was, like, next-level nerves. But now it is just still the same sort of level of nerves, just a bit more confidence, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you've done it. You've been there. Oh, you smash it.
What's your process? I mean, back in the 90s when I was doing bands, not playing at 10,000 people, more likely 10.
That was all your family as well,
wasn't
it?
That was just, the family.
You and your nine brothers.
I would have about 15 proper nervous pisses. That was always my thing.
Oh, yeah. The issue for me is 9 times out of 10, I'm wearing something ridiculous, like something that clips underneath me or like a cat suit or something. And I very quickly changed my attire so that I can go for about 20 pisses before I go anywhere near the stage.
You can zip out of it. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Youthful exuberance has changed now and I'm like, nah, I need to be comfortable and be able to go to the toilet a million times.
Practicality.
You're wearing 100%.
Wearing your sketches out on stage.
Yeah, although I have been dared, well, betted to get back in the cat suit for this tour, so that might come back. We'll see.
Yeah, if you as long as you don't drink too much water before you go on stage.
It's a catch 22.
Right.
You've got to stay hydrated at all times in life, haven't you?
Oh, it's such a pain in the arse, and it working out how you're going to cope with playing to 10,000 fucking people or Wembley.
It does feel like a bit of a Crimea River moment, doesn't it? Like, oh yeah, real difficult for
first world problems. Well, talking about staying hydrated, how about that for a tenuous link?
Love it.
Whee.
Your top five. Do you want to introduce your top five, Ellie?
Yeah, it's a bit random. It's top five alcohol with alcoholic mixer. So drinks that are more than one alcohol combined.
Oh, do you know, right. So you've got booze with a booze mixer.
Yes.
That's right. Fine. That's fucking, that's no problem with that. In fact,
I thought it might be in your wheelhouse, to be fair.
It's absolutely in our wheelhouse. And
Shu
told me about this.
Oh, hang on. What's that mean? I've never heard that before.
What is in your wheel? What are you going on about?
I've never heard that.
It's in your wheelhouse.
Really? Yeah. In your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Explain.
It's in your skill set. There you go. Yeah. It's something that you do.
Right. Okay. Moving forwards, can we just use skill set? I know where I'm at here.
Every day's a school day. Come on.
Yeah. Well, we've learnt something here. As soon as Shu told me that was your top five, Ellie, I was like, fuck, I don't think we've done that. And it's a great one. And then I just spent a while just reminiscing about all the different, because how Shu said it to me was just mixers, but straight away I started thinking about the beers, well, the alcohols I've been mixing together at different points in my life. And I like this. This is going to be a lot of fun. I guess before we do that, Stewie, we should give a shout out to our sponsors. One of them will be very comfortable with mixing drinks, as we've seen on other podcasts, Stu. Which is Big Papa J, Justin Price, the Say What podcast, starring also the notorious FAT and Lady P. If you like drunken, somewhat high ramblings, that would be the podcast for you. A lot of you guys would have seen and heard Justin on our podcast. He's on an infamous podcast that we couldn't put out because he got too drunk.
Mm. I saw him quite drunk on Friday. He was at my daughter's 21st birthday party, and my dad went, "Is that Justin?" And at which point, Justin was standing on his own, and obviously no one was paying him enough attention. He just looked up at the ceiling and screamed "motherfucker" in the highest pitched voice I've ever heard, and then just walked off to the bar on his own.
Oh, man.
I went, yeah, that's Justin.
I love him. Just standing at the bar with Justin is just, it's equal parts cringy and I have to be there because I just don't know what he's going to say to the poor person. The person who's going to pour his pint has got to just deal with whatever fucking nonsense spills out of his mouth. They don't get paid enough for it.
I bought him an interesting drink, which I will get onto when Ellie gets the top 5 grand. That's the Say What podcast. The other sponsor of Hardcore Listing is Southern Martial Arts. Renshi Sai James, he's a top lad. If you're interested in learning martial arts or becoming a martial arts instructor, then go follow Sai. He's always tagged in all our posts. So go give him a follow on the socials. And also, he's got a podcast with former guest Leon McLeod. Go check out their podcast as well. We've been guests on there and it was a lot of fun. So go and
Leon and Sai solve nothing.
Absolutely.
It's very good.
Which is just what you want to hear from a police officer.
a decorated police officer.
A decorated police officer.
A fucking one of the filth. A pig.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Right, enough about the plod. Let's get back to our guest and some ace booze. Ellie, so, what you got at number 5?
Are these in order, by the way, Ellie, from like pretty good to number 1 being your favourite, or is it just
pretty much in order, cool. really. Yeah, the top two are my go-to. Sort of like, these are the ones. You'll see me with them at a weekend.
Okay.
Incredible.
Okay.
What's your number 5?
Just starting off simple. Just a little Prosecco with gin liqueur. Nice and easy. Yeah. Introduced to me by a friend. She doesn't drink either of those things normally, but put them together. Bibbidi bobbidi boo. Yeah. You've got a little cheeky little number.
I don't think I've ever had that. I feel like I'm immediately missing out and I'm going to find some new things to drink.
So in an ideal world, I would have had all these lined up and just like tasted them as we went, but it's like 11 o'clock and I've got two other jobs to do today. So.
You need to be a rock and roll star for fuck's sake.
I know. Sometimes we've got to do other things to fund the lifestyle, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, man. So where did your friend introduce you to this?
She just turned up at my house and she was like, look, I've got us sorted for tonight. Let me just stay with me. Just try it. So we tried it. And then a bottle of Prosecco and a bottle of gin liqueur later, I was stood on my coffee table singing Proud Mary. And she was trying to do the dirty dancing lift and ended up head first hitting my shoe rack and my bass amp in my living room, cutting her head open. So, yeah.
That was just used to having a night in.
The two of us and one other person. Yeah, yeah. I filmed the dirty dancing lift. The other person helped her with it, or failed to help her.
Spectacular. I mean, and also, if you're going to do Proud Mary on a table pissed, I think maybe do the first half of the song on there and then maybe get off because that's when it could get problematic.
I was holding the beams in my... I've got quite a low ceiling. The beams were being held onto, so I was sturdy in what I was doing.
Amazing.
So a gin liqueur, is that flavoured?
Yeah, I would, well, as I was introduced to it, it was a rhubarb gin liqueur.
Oh, nice.
Pretty standard.
Does anybody actually eat rhubarb or do they just have it in gin cocktails?
I actually do eat rhubarb and this is purely because my boyfriend is obsessed with growing rhubarb. So he's got a massive rhubarb plant in the garden and he gets so excited. He's like, oh, look what I've grown. Look, look, look. And I'm like, oh, great. Yeah, rhubarb. But then we have a crumble and it's all good.
I had it no more than 2 weeks ago. So my missus, she made us a rhubarb crumble and it was lovely. It was really good, Shu. So you're missing out. My mum used to make it back in like the 80s and 90s. And,
yeah, same.
It was so, what? You had my mum's rhubarb crumble in the 80s and 90s.
I had your mum in the 80s.
I'm sorry, Ellie.
I have listened to the podcast before, so it's not new.
But it was so, like when mum made it, like, so my mum was a great chef. She was a great cook. But her rhubarb crumble was always that one I was like, oh no, because it was so taut. It was like, yeah. You know,
taut,
pull a bit of an
or did you mean tart?
We've had this before, haven't we?
Taut is like you pull a rope taut. Tart is when
your
like,
leopard skin pants are taut.
They're very taut.
I say taut because that's what my mum used to say. And she's now got dementia, so you can't make fun of her, Stu.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, you can. She won't remember. Tart. It's very tart. It was too tart. But now it's, Molly's one is, that's why I proposed.
Do you know what? Crumbles, right? A fucking good crumble.
Like, it is, isn't it?
I mean, people only ever really put apple or rhubarb in a crumble, right?
I guess so.
Have you just got
blackberry?
Blackberry. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Apple and blackberry.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, because blackberries, you just like, I don't know. Was you picking blackberries in like the 90s, Chris? Because in the 80s, that was the sort of shit that my nan and granddad would go, like, come, we're going out, we're going to go and pick blackberries. And that was the sort of...
My grandparents sound well boring.
What's interesting about, like, crumble is you just go, oh, yeah, like, just get some rhubarb. It's really nice. It's, you know, some fresh fruit. And then do you put, like, a sack of sugar on it as well, like, when you make a crumble?
Yeah, absolutely. It's good. It's a low maintenance dessert, though, that, isn't it? You can whip one of them up pretty easy.
And then what do you then do once you've got all of that shortbread kind of crumble and a sack of sugar all over a little bit of fruit? Then add custard or cream. That's fucking good living.
Yeah, it is. What sort of other than rhubarb? Have you got any other? What are your go to gins, Ellie? What do you like?
Oh, so there's a company down here in the depths of Cornwall called Tarquin's, and they do a fine selection of gins. Mm. So that, I do like a rhubarb, you know, a little strawberry and lime gin. I'm not massively fussy.
Take it out. It comes. I don't like cucumber, which puts like Hendrix and stuff like that. Like, not as big a fan of it. But a mixer saved my life. Because I didn't really like, I couldn't complete alcohol because I wasn't a big fan of gin. There's two alcohols I always struggled with, which was, when I was younger, whiskey, gin, and tequila.
Right.
And I've always been good with meths.
Been all right with that.
From my dad's shed. And, but gin, like, I didn't like it until, like, probably I was about 30. And my mate was like, have it with, and it was just like, it was a certain tonic water. And as soon as I had it with that tonic water, I was like, oh, it was palatable. And that was my gateway sort of like into then just fucking loving all gins, really.
Yeah, gin and ginger beer, that's an absolute vibe. Oh, little ginger ale or something. That's
absolutely.
Ginger beer features in one of my little honorable mentions.
Yes. Yeah. That was part of the reason it got me into something else as well. But have you got, so you're not that far, see, Stu, have you got any like garnishes? If you're going to be fancy, not like if you're at home drinking to, you know, forget all your problems. Have you got any garnishes that you like in a gin?
Just trying to think if I've ever had a drink where I've not just been staring at my shoes thinking,
mother's ruin.
I was going to say mother's ruin.
I mean, to be honest, cucumbers are vegetable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you fucking, what are people putting fucking vegetables in drinks for? Yeah. Like, you might as well just put a fucking marrow in it. It's fucking bollocks. It's
what,
like,
about what about celery and Bloody Mary?
Yeah, exactly.
No, don't even get me started on that. Bloody Mary, tomato juice.
Oh, I love Bloody Marys.
Oh, rotten. If I've got an hangover and someone swans in drinking one of them, that's making it 10 times worse. Just the thought of it. Tomatoes with a vegetable in it, and the most pointless vegetable is celery. Doesn't taste of anything, and like that's the negative calorie one, isn't it? I mean, what a waste! A negative calorie like food, and they make it celery. Why couldn't it have been hula hoops? It would have been so much better.
Tabasco. I hope we haven't hijacked said Bloody Mary, Ellie, and it's one of your other ones because it's not really. But like that, like,
I said it so.
You know. Fair dues. Like if I go to a place with a hangover and they do decent Bloody Marys, I'll stay there for the afternoon. I'll just keep going. I'll just power. That's just a great way to turn around a bad hangover. That, but not for you, Stewie. I guess too many vitamins in it for a graze boy.
Just have a couple of Baroccas and a
bag of hula hoops.
And no, you can't go playing Chris with a hangover. Like, I'll have a couple of Baroccas, have a little bit of a walk, I never drink full fat Coke, but maybe an ice cold can of full fat Coke.
Yeah,
oh, it's only full fat Coke on a hangover.
Yeah,
it's the only way.
Yeah, completely. It's that's what, I don't know why they, I keep getting pushed to me. I don't know what they think of me. But are you getting pushed like on social media, hangover cures? Like they're constantly like, oh, I used to really struggle with hangovers, but it's all like these 20, it's like 27, 20 something girls just living their best lives, and it's just getting pushed on me all the time. And like, do you think that's how I live now? I'm not like living it up like every night with my girls.
All and, I get, my only sponsored ads are former West Ham player Neil Razor Ruddock, who's in his late 50s, is the size of a house, going, and as you scroll, it goes, "Dads, are you over 50? Have you got life insurance?" That's the one I get. And then the other one is various other people that are kind of stock video images about erectile dysfunction. So they're my sponsored ads.
And the stock videos of cocks. That'd be great. But like, sorry, we're digressing big time. Full cap fat Coke, that does it for me. Like if I've got a hangover and I don't want to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Make the situation worse by drinking. Full-fat Coke is the answer.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Ellie, are you in Cornwall?
I am indeed, yes.
I mean, you've got no fucking excuse to have an hangover. You can just go and get straight in the sea in the most beautiful place.
Sometimes that's just not an option.
Are you
when
near
it's
the
on
coast?
The doorstep, you're like, nah. Oh, yeah. I am, yeah.
Oh, I'm very, very jealous of that.
That's a dream, yeah.
I forget that people don't have the beach next door to them all the time.
Yeah, landlocked. Yeah, it's, God,
not to brag or anything,
yeah,
but you know.
No, brag away.
Oh, live by the sea and play in Wembley. You're winning life, Ellie.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I've come on the podcast, because I just feel like more people need to know those two things about me. Get it out there.
What's your number four, mate?
So this is a Cornish based one. So I'm going to assume, have you heard of Rattler Cider?
Yes. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a thing that you can do, which is like basically like a rattler fruit salad. So you mix together like regular pineapple, strawberry and lime. And then if you've got a little bit of peach or something knocking about, you can add that in as well. And so there's a music festival in Cornwall called Little Orchards Festival. It's at the cider farm. And it's basically like bag and box, like 50 different ciders, and then like rattler on tap everywhere. And then music, like live music as well. And yeah, we kind of like, I work on the bar there as well sometimes. So we've kind of like honed the rattler fruit salad situation there.
Oh my God.
This is so
refreshing.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had that either. This is great. Two for two. Yeah. Oh, wow. Fruit salad. Like, I'm not the biggest cider guy, but I do like it. And that sounds like the fucking dream.
It is on a summer's day, live music in the background in a field. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a vibe. But I mean, yeah, you'll be falling over by the end of the day, but you're having a great time doing
it. It's worth it. Absolutely worth it. Yeah.
You had
that one, Stewie?
Yeah, yeah. Like, not the cocktail, but I'm quite...
You've had a drink in the summer, is that what you're going
to
say?
Yeah, I've had a drink out in the summer.
You're so crazy, you are, Stewie. All your festival stories are so wild.
Just got my novelty festival hat on and my tie-dye shorts. Yeah, I'm just fucking wild. Like, but no, I'm quite partial to cider. It's like, if I go to a pub, I'm always last minute. If they've got like shit beer, like if it's just like Foster's, Carling, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to have a pint of cider.
Yeah, I do the same.
Yeah. And I'm happy with Strongbow. I know it's not the most exciting cider, but if that's what's on draft and the beers are really shit, I'll go for a pint of Strongbow and it's all right. I quite like Inches. Like, Inches cider's nice. And yeah, but then when you get down to what are you smiling at, Chris?
Sorry, I just found it. Just don't mind me.
But when you get down to your neck of the woods, I mean, fucking hell, you are in cider territory, right? You've got all the good shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And everyone's homebrewing their cider down here as well.
Oh, fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's everywhere. So, yeah. A Rattler's like a bit of an institution down here. It used to be quite strong, like back in like 2009. And then they've got, because of the alcohol tax, it's slowly kind of dwindled a little bit. But it used to be like a thing, like getting rattled on Rattler. I did once fall face first into the concrete and cut my face up on Rattler, actually.
Yeah.
That was just of an afternoon, walking home from the pub with my dog. So,
What's the deal with, on tour with Tom, like, what's on the rider for you? Like, what's there to be drunk? And do you have a like one before you go on, or
do you know what? It's really funny actually, because like all through years of playing in bands and stuff, I've always been like, oh, I have maybe like one drink before I go on, and then like a fair few after. But actually, it's basically been like a dry tour from like we just don't have alcohol, and I would never have done that before. But I tell you what, it's actually quite good. It actually makes you feel like I always used to go and play tours and wake up the next day and be like, oh God, drag myself to sound check and like your head's hurting and then everything's really loud. But like, I'm just like waking up every day like, what? Yeah.
I can't imagine having to play on stage with a hangover. Like the hangovers I get now, I wouldn't survive. I wouldn't be able to do it.
I don't think as someone over 30 that I could do that now. I have thrown up in my mouth on stage once and had to swallow it, and that was truly horrible. So yeah, I'm just being much more sensible these days.
How did it come about? Sorry, go on, Shu.
No, I played a gig at the Adelphi in Hull once, and I drank. We used to only be able to afford at the time in Obbins, you'd get two bottles of wine for a fiver. And we had no money, and so we would buy that. And it was we didn't drink red at the time; we only drank white. But it was like warm because we didn't have any sort of fridges in our little van. So I drank a bottle of warm white wine, and I did run in the middle eight of the song. I ran off stage, threw up, and got back on for the last chorus.
That's impressive.
Thank you, thank you. I was quite proud of that.
Yeah, houses, things we do. So how did you come about playing with Tom then, Ellie? How'd that all fall into place?
So the studio that I'm sat in now, Cube Recording, in Cornwall, Tom came here to start working on some new music. And he met the guys, and the guy who runs the studio, Gareth Young, he ended up co-writing and producing the first record. And I've known him for years. Just he knows everyone in the Cornish scene, knows what everyone's doing. So I just got this phone call one day, sort of saying, look, can I just bend your ear a minute? Would you be keen in considering this? And I was like, yeah, I would. It was all sort of like, you know, I didn't know whether it was going to be something that happened. And I came in, I got this phone call, and they were like, can you just come and meet Tom quickly? And I was like, yeah, okay. So I like rushed down to the studio, and um, I'd, I just had my hair done like half green, half silver, like a split dye. My friend wanted to do a competition. And so she just did my hair and I was like, right, I've got to go. So I ran off and I just walked in and he just looked at me and went, Harley Quinn, you're going to be in the band, aren't you? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. And that was kind of like the start of it, really.
That's a surreal start.
It was mad. Yeah.
Wonderful. Should we get another drink in?
Right.
Go on. So Guinness and Tia Maria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't like Guinness. I don't like Tia Maria. But something about putting them together in a social club
combined
on St. Patrick's Day, just, it works.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, I mean, I like both of those things apart and together. Yeah, saves time in many ways. It is really nice. It's one of those ones where you're like, it's creative enough where I think, I wish I'd have thought of that. Like, that had been quite a cool, just like, that's about as far as my creativity would ever stretch, Ellie, I think. You know, that's
it's a big dream. It's a big dream.
But yeah, I think when someone could put that together, they'd have been like, oh, fucking check this shit out. And yeah, no, it is. It's very nice.
Yeah, I'm all over that.
Yeah.
I am all over that.
Yeah, I really don't like Guinness. I can taste a pint of Guinness and someone will say, oh, this is like the best pint of Guinness like in this area. And I'll be like, it's better than the one that I've tasted before, but I still don't like it. But yeah, just something about a shot of Tia Maria in there just lightens elevates it to another level. Yeah.
Well, it's like the black belt edition of sort of like get a Guinness with a Guinness and blackcurrant, right? Because you just, instead of just adding a bit of blackcurrant, you've added another alcohol and a bit better, really, because Guinness and black's not really for me. I think it's just not a fan. But Guinness and Tia Maria is really nice. I've always loved Guinness, but it's like a stout. Do you like any other sort of stouts, Ellie? Are you sort of any of the blacks? Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm like a pale ale wanker, really, I suppose. But yeah.
Yeah.
I fucking love Guinness. I had 5 pints of Guinness last Friday in a social club, and it was...
I thought he was going to say last night. I was like, shut up. You did drink 5 on a Wednesday night.
No. My daughters do. It was in a working men's club, so it was super fucking cheap as well, which is always a bonus. And
yeah.
I fucking love Guinness. Do you know what? It's really, a lot of things that you're saying, Ellie, have you got quite a sweet tooth? Because you're kind of making everything quite sweet.
Yeah, that is very true. And it's not for everyone, my palate.
I forgot about this one, having a sweet tooth, and we talked about cider. I had a pina colada cider other week.
I've had one of those, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. But like, the thing is, Stu, like, me and Mark, we discovered it, and then we had 2 pints of it, excitedly, and then by the 3rd pint, it started to wear a bit thin. It was a bit like, okay, yeah. But it was nice. It tasted just like pina colada. But by like the 3rd pint of pina colada cider, you're like, okay, I've got to switch this up. But it was good.
I love that you had 1 pint, got overexcited, ordered another one. Neither of you wanted to tell the other one that you weren't really feeling the 3rd. Just went with it. Chris, do you want to throw one in the mix?
I like as a combo?
We should mention the Scroobius, right?
Do we have to?
Because that is generally a flavoured gin that he blags from God knows who. He's always got an array of gins as Pip. And we are recording the Drunk Cast next week, so I'm sure them drinks will be popular again, which we all slagged off. But I drink them now when he comes over. And that is a flavoured gin with Pepsi Max.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Delete. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have heard talk of this on the previous podcast I've listened to. And, you know, don't get me wrong, it's fine. I'm more of a Coca-Cola person than a Pepsi, for one. But, I mean, I feel like the main fundamental error with this is that it's not mixed with another type of alcohol.
True. This is true.
As a purist.
Yeah. It isn't that. I mean, also, it's just like that. I like Pepsi Max. I ain't going to lie. But that sort of like faux sugar taste, then mixed in with a spirit. It don't make sense to me. He knows my feelings on it, and he's got no. He might be creative and have and be quite discerning with many a cult like creative process. But you know, his palate is dead. It's barren. His palate, and that's why his favorite food. That's why he went on off menu and chose Domino's.
Mm.
Yeah. Sad bastard. He'll be listening to this as well. He'll be making all these notes. But the thing is, he won't listen to this before the drunk cast, probably. So, yeah, disgusting. But having said all of that, like very much trusting of him is to persevere with something and work on it until it actually tastes half decent. And he's when he did the Pepsi Max with like rhubarb gin, he did turn me a little bit, and I reluctantly had to accept that. Yeah, he's quite tasty.
In all honesty, I would drink it in a second, in a heartbeat. It does sound great, and it is right in my wheelhouse. Sorry, Stu, but so I would go for it. I have to say,
We've had it at the club when we're DJing, and I've drunk all my drinks, and he's fucking nursing his, and I'm like, let's have a sip of that. He's like, I thought you didn't like it, and I'm like, not enough to not drink it. Like if there's not another bit of alcohol there, so yeah. Sorry, Stu, was you going to say something there, bub?
No, I did actually buy a Big Papa J. It's not a tumble, but last Friday, I said, what do you want to drink? And he was like, surprise me. And because it was a working men's club, they had loads of cans of like soft drink. I can't think what the brand is. It was one of them like kind of like sort of budget brands that are always really sugary and sweet. So I did get him a vodka and cream soda. And initially he was like, what have you got, mate? And then obviously he drank it and he was like, that was fucking amazing.
Yeah, that already sounds great.
Mm.
I'll throw one in the mix because I don't want to... I've got a habit of saying shit, Ellie, on this podcast, and then people saying, that's my number one, you prick. And then just ruining it. When I lived in Tufnell Park, there was a place in Kentish Town. Was it Kentish Town? It was a Pizza East. And there was a lad there who worked behind the bar, and he really gave a shit about his job. He wasn't dialing it in, you know. He went there because he loved like mixing drinks and all this other stuff. And he had I can't remember what he named it, but it was it's in my top five alcohols of all time. What he made us, right? And it's relatively simple. He wouldn't tell me the exact proportions, but it was an IPA. Half an IPA or slightly more, a whiskey and marmalade. And it was fucking amazing. Like it was gorgeous. And it's got that sweet tooth in there for you, Ellie, and it's IPA. Obviously if you like whiskey as well, then it's hit 3 points there. But yeah, the marmalade in it it was so good. Obviously quite strong.
That is someone who's actually thought about putting different alcohol together. Mine is more of a list of like throw some stuff together, but would really refine all of these things is, you know, put a bit of marmalade in it.
Yeah,
it does sound like a vibe. It sounds great.
Yeah, it was great. And like, you know, not all like IPAs vary in flavor, don't they, and fruitiness and all that shit. And the same with whiskey. Like, there's so many different ways you could go with that. But I don't know. Like I'm going to say the word notes there. Which makes me, you know, that I just didn't feel right as it came out of my mouth. I did, yeah. Felt a bit pretentious. But the flavor, like how he'd like got the flavors right in it was just like, I just came in my pants.
It become a cocktail?
Oh, is it like free spirit? You've got to have free spirits in it for a cocktail. I don't know. I think it's that. But
because it just become like some like, wild fucking concoction that you've just made at home to it being a legit cocktail.
Let me Google it. You've got
a beard. You have to have a beard. You have to be a hipster, don't you?
Got to live in Margate.
That's
and have
the
a
difference,
load of,
isn't it? Yeah.
A load of tie dye. What makes a cocktail a cocktail? I will check this.
Surely you're just going to do guesswork, aren't you?
My guesswork is it's free spirits.
No chance. There's no way. There's loads of cocktails that are just two spirits and go loads of mixers.
Name. All right. If your theory is correct, name 50. If you can name. No, you're right. It's at least one is alcoholic. There you go. Fucking, that's boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
We've got some cocktails at the Toothbrush. I run a club, Ellie, in Essex. Yeah. And we do these. One of our cocktails is half a snake bite, which is a cocktail in itself, I guess. Mm. So it's half a snake bite and black. So you've got, and then you add a orange, what do you call it? Like a hooch. I don't know what they're called now. A VK or something like that.
What would they used to be called? Reefs.
Reefs.
They still do reefs?
Yeah.
No, I think reefs. Reefs were dangerous, man.
Well,
like,
you can.
Reefs weren't like the other Alka-Pops. Reefs were like an orange juice. It was quite thick, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was. Like,
now, you think you could quite well easily have that at breakfast.
That's flashed me back to that. That's probably my first ever alcohol with an alcohol.
Yeah.
Where we used to drink the start of the reef and then just top it up with vodka.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Oh, doubling
kids
down
drinking
on that,
in
then.
The park, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Strong, like Strombo on a park bench vibes.
They were the days.
Former guest of the show, a member of the Cunts, Mr. Gels, I saw a video that he put up yesterday and he was moaning about the fact that to buy bottles of Desperado is really expensive, and you only get them in them like packets of three, four, robbing bastards. And so what he done is he just had a bottle of lager, and then he just pulled a hip flask of tequila out, just poured it in the top, and I was like, why not? That makes sense.
I got a lot of time for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But one I thought you might say, Ellie, but if it. Oh, I'll say it after.
Why are you going to do this?
No.
But yeah, we started flying towards one I nearly said, then pulled back on, but was a family favourite. My mum and dad weren't drinking it, but I drank this shit a lot. In 2000, I'd
going to say it. I know you are.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I feel like you are, but.
Right, Ellie, what you got next, mate? What, was this your number three or number two?
That was three, Tiramisu and Guinness.
Yeah, that was three. Number two is a pint of cider with a shot of gin in it.
Whoa!
That's filth.
Yeah. And do you know what?
There's no argument there.
There's, I mean, you can fancy it up. So I first had it at my sister's wedding.
Wedding.
Yeah. Oh, I knew that it was going to be a good day. And I just walked up to the bar and I was like perusing the selection. I was like, oh, you've got a few nice ciders there. Oh, you've got Thatcher's Haze. That's nice. I'll be having a pint of that. Yeah. And I was like, oh, you've got a nice gin selection. And he just looked me dead in the eyes and he was like, I know what you need. And I was like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
And
what
he went,
bartender.
You need a shot of gin in your cider. And I was like, what? And he was like, no, honestly, shot of gin in it. It's going to be amazing. And I was like, give me a pint of Haze for a minute and then I'll come back. And I'll give you the nod and I'll have that. So about
zip it in there.
An hour later, I went back and I was like, you know what time it is? And he was like, yeah, I got you. And Bombay Sapphire in Thatcher's Haze.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah.
Wow.
All the joy. But I mean, you can put like a little raspberry gin in there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sex it up
that
how
works.
You want.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really works.
You don't go to a wedding, do you?
I was going to say.
To end up bumping into like a Mr. Miyagi type character that just bestows that wisdom on you. What a joy.
What a legend.
It just was a moment where my mind expanded and I was like, this guy is my sensei, basically.
Oh, what a legend for doing that. Yeah. I think you've also, do you think he saw you coming as well? He's like, because that's not maybe something that you could just say to anyone who comes. Can't say that to the mother of the bride.
Oh,
what's
no.
that? You know, it's a certain person who comes to the bar on a wedding and you're like.
I think he'd clocked me. I was looking very alternative in comparison to most people there.
I was staggering like, all over the place. I'd phone up twice.
I had a bottle of gin in one hand, a bottle of cider in the other, you know. Yeah, no, so I was walking up to him and he must have known. He just saw into my soul and knew what I needed.
Oh, man.
And it changed my life that day. Changed my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Love that he brought you into his little inner circle. Like,
yeah.
When you
and
find...
No one...
Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, no, whenever I say it, everyone's like, oh no, that what? And then I'm like, but try it.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, yeah, it works.
Love it.
And you get pretty fucked up as well. So.
Like pegging stew, wasn't it? You were dead against pegging.
Weren't having a drop of that, mate. Weren't having a drop of that. But thanks for that bloke behind the bar. I'm all over it now.
Do you know what? When you find there's no... Oh, God, this is going to sound terrible. I don't even drink a lot these days. And Craig doesn't make that many appearances these days. But when you find a new alcohol, it's like it can make a night. Like I discovered like... 1 year we discovered Coffee Patron one New Year's Eve.
What's that?
Yeah.
Coffee Patron, it's like coffee tequila.
Is that the one that's two colours? Like you've got the bottle split, one's white and one's black.
No. That's Baby Guinness, isn't it?
Yeah, or I can't remember.
Dooley's.
Dooley's do that, yeah.
Right.
There's another liqueur that does that as well, but oh man, and we just housed this bottle behind the bar. Like, they must have made a fortune because like, we drank the bottle and they were selling it to us in shots. But it's so good. It's like, I fucking love it. That was,
It's like that feeling when you find like you watch a TV program for the first time and you love it and you're like, I cannot wait to show other people this and like watch their reaction when they, I'm going to sit there, I'm going to watch them watching it and I'm going to love it. It's like that with the cider and the shot of gin. Yeah. It's like just passing the knowledge on to other people and watching them enjoy it.
I'm grateful. But it's also like when you do it and you get it wrong, like you have to, it's like comedians as well. You know, you might find a comedian really funny. But you might recommend them to someone who does not find a sense of humour funny, and then they're just looking at you like, you're weird, you're strange.
I can't deal with that. I can't deal with that.
It upsets me. It upsets me.
You've got to be selective. That's why, you know, when it's really one of your favourite things and you show it to someone, you're just waiting for that moment of like, please don't hate it. Please, I'm going to have to cut you out of my life if you hate this.
Yeah. Oh, you don't like that. Right, okay.
Yeah, the amount of times I had conversations that ended up with like, I don't really watch The Office. It's a bit cringy. It's not really. I don't really get it. He's just a bit cringy. I just think, we can't be friends. Sorry.
You're not my kind of person. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
But that barkeep, he saw you and he was confident enough to go.
My only regret is that I didn't get his name. We're not Facebook friends. Like, I just would like to be in touch with him to let him know the impact.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wasn't real. Maybe he was just an apparition. You know, he might not have actually been even a real person. He might have just sort of come down and given me the knowledge and then...
Did you just Fight Club yourself? Was that your Tyler Durden moment at a bar?
Basically, yeah.
In a drunken, foogy state. Some poor...
None of it was real.
Watched you have that conversation with yourself at the bar.
Yeah.
And then you ordered a gin in your... aside and they were too scared to say no.
Yeah, basically that.
I reckon.
I think you need those people in your life. I think those sort of elusive characters who come in, bestow some sort of like magic power on you and then disappear. And 100%. The magic power was the gift of alcohol.
Mixing. Absolutely. You'll be on TV in about 20 years, you know, when you've hung up the bass and there's this retrospective look back across your career and, you know, probably hosted by like Davina McCall and she'll, right at the end, there'll just be a voice comes over the studio and you're like, I know that voice. And out he comes with a pint of cider and they're fanned him and a gin.
Hopefully, like one day I'll be on, what is it, Would I Lie to You? And when they do that thing where they bring on, how do you know this person? I'll be the barman.
This is your life. Before we go into number one then, let's talk about what's coming up for you now, Ellie. What are you up to? What's in the... I was going to cram in the word wheelhouse there, but what's coming up?
We go into rehearsals at the start of December, and we've got a warm up show for the Knoll support in Falmouth in Cornwall, which is like a local little venue to us. So that'll be really cool we've not actually played in Cornwall, so and actually like over half the band and crew are Cornish, so it'll be really nice to play in our sort of like hometown, and then 3 weeks today we go to Wembley. Don't know if I've mentioned it at all, but and then we do those dates with Noel and we end up doing two nights in Leicester O2 on the 22nd and 23rd, just before Christmas.
Homecoming show.
Yeah, so that's cool. And then, yeah, some fun stuff coming up next year, I hope, and can't say about some things. So
Tom has announced he's doing a little acoustic tour as well, isn't he?
Yes, yes. Yeah. So that's the whole of March. It's just smaller venues, stripped back, but, you know, not too back.
Will you be on that?
I will be on that, yes.
We will come and see you then, because you're coming to South End on Sea.
We are indeed.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
we'll have to try one of these up maybe after the show. Well, we can get you
in. Definitely. In your honour, I'll have one before I play.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, let's get to the top spot. Ellie, what you got?
This is my Christmas drink, for one. I drink it every Christmas day and at other times of the year as well. But it's Amaretto and Buck's Fizz.
Hello.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah. It's so sweet. I know. When you said about how sweet all my things were, I was like, oh, you're going to hate this one. It is so like, you wake up Boxing Day and your mouth hurts because it's really? So sweet.
Did you even sleep, though, to be fair, with that concoction?
Yeah, probably not. But then I finished it off with a cider and gin, and then I was, you know, then I was asleep. But yeah, no, I think I had it at a wedding somewhere. A lot of the best drinks I find are at weddings, apparently.
Yeah.
And it was just a taste sensation, and I've never looked back. But yeah, every Christmas day I wake up, I get the panic before if I haven't stocked up on enough Buck's Fizz and Amaretto. I'm like, and my boyfriend's always like, how much do you think you're going to drink? And I'm like, I don't know, that's the point, I need to be prepared for this.
Yeah, it's important.
And then 9 o'clock Christmas morning, the Buck's Fizz gets popped, and that's it, you know, that's my Christmas day.
Do you know what, I love Amaretto and a lot of Buck's Fizz. This Christmas day, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start the day with one. See how it goes.
If you like both things, how can it not be perfection together?
Yeah, yeah. I'll give it a blast on Christmas Day as well.
Do it. It's I'm at
my mum's care
drunk.
Home. I'm going to get some looks.
They'll love it. They get them
They'll
all on
it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's quite a giggly, merry drunk for maybe that's the season.
Absolutely.
I don't know if it's because it's Christmas, but
I generally find by lunchtime you'll be giggling a bit if you've been hitting hard fucking liquor from like 9 a.m.
The first year that I met my boyfriend's some of his family, we were like, oh, we're gonna go for a lovely walk out on Crantock Beach, oh, it's gonna be so nice. And I was thinking, oh yeah. And he said, do you know when I knew that you were drunk already? And I was like, no. He said, when you were giggling trying to put your socks on at 10 o'clock in the morning, you couldn't get your socks on, you're just giggling. And I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. So I've just kept that as a marker for where I need to be every year now,
because Christmas is airport rules, isn't it?
Such a good way of putting it, Stu. Yeah.
Christmas Day, there's no rules, isn't it? It's all out the window. Like, there's no shame in just having fucking champagne for breakfast.
Well, I think even as a kid, not about alcohol, just to quickly throw that out there, but like the fact that my parents, you know, there is no rules, because my parents thought it'd be a wise idea. Like, obviously, they didn't want me bothering them at like 5 a.m. So they'd put like one of my mum's tights in the she's giving me, she'd fill,
where is
my
this
mum
going?
My mum would fill a tight up with like chocolate bars and a couple of tiny little presents. And why were they feeding me chocolate at 5 a.m. thinking that was going to lock me down? Like, you just get high on sugar and then like be bouncing around all. But like, so you knew even from a kid that there's no rules at Christmas time. So yeah, then obviously you break out the Buck's Fizz for brekkie, but sticking an amaretto in it, like it.
What?
For me, I probably couldn't drink that all day. I think that would probably, a bit like Stu, I think my palate would, my fuse would blow, but I could have them at like evenly spaced intervals throughout the day, I think.
You have like a couple just to get the ball rolling.
Yes.
And then
you
move back into your wheelhouse of drink, and then you can just sort of sideline off onto another little one just to start the evening off again.
I'm interested in regards to the kind of food element, because normally they kind of come hand in hand. So, you know, certain foods with certain wines, certain, you know, foods with certain beers. Like, when you're drinking insane level shit like that, what are you smashing apart from a selection box?
I mean, I almost feel like it's the mentality of eating's cheating, isn't it? But no, because it's Christmas. But the thing is, with Christmas, it's a cheese board at all times. If there isn't a cheese board on the go at all times, then it's not
Those
Christmas. So, I mean, you just
Dipping
go
in
for
and out
it.
Of it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no set. It's all about where the vibe takes you with these kind of things.
So you got a bit of savoury to pare down with the yeah. sugar as well. So
yeah, a cheese board's my worst thing. Oh. It's the last tour I spent a lot of time, me and the lighting guy, 3 a.m, cheese board on the tour bus, and the regret when I came home was strong.
Oh dear, oh, on man. Cheese, yeah. Love it.
So I've said no more cheese this tour.
Got to cut back. Too much
back.
Cheese.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. The excess of cheese on tour.
It's so rock and roll, isn't it? I'm like, oh, no, say, I don't right? drink. Oh, no, I don't drink on tour, but I do sit and smash a cheese ball at 3 a.m. Do you know what I mean? What
a world. I think the youthful exuberance as well with all that, like when you're young, you're like, yeah, that's rock and roll and that's what... And then when your mates are touring or you go and see them on tour, the older you get, the more like sane the riders are.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the more and also the better they are as well.
Oh yeah, we had Olive Gate on the last couple of tours because I think the rider was kind of like hashed together a little bit. It wasn't like someone did it that didn't really ask anyone, and we ended up with olives and like red onions and like so we bet. Tom basically kicked off and he was like, no, where's the scampi fries? Where's the bacon fries? I'm not having it. So we ended up, and our poor tour manager, he used to have a little charcuterie board at the end of like, he'd be running around all day and then like it would get to like, we'd all go to bed on the bus and he'd sit down and he'd have his like olives and stuff. And that got whipped right out from under him. So poor boy. So yeah. So I think maybe this tour we might dial in on some better snack options.
So... I mean, if you want to talk snacks, you're talking to the daddy of it here, mate. So you mentioned Tom likes a scampi fry.
Yes.
Right. So when the scampi fry was invented, it come out, there was three. There was a scampi fry, there was the bacon.
Cheesy moments.
And the cheesy moments.
Cheesy moments.
Get rid of the bacon, and then you have one scampi fry and one cheesy moment, which my brother called that cocktail sex in the mouth.
Wow.
And
that sounds amazing.
It's really powerful. It's really powerful. It's quite the combo.
It's quite the combo. And I keep lamenting cheese moments.
Yeah, can you still get them?
No, I don't think so. No, I used to have them when I went swimming every Sunday as a child. Oh.
Rest easy, little fellas. I miss them.
Exactly.
Yeah, so do I, mate. Yeah, just have a minute silence for cheese moments. Just at the end of a podcast.
Well, Ellie, thanks so much for giving up your time and coming on today. It's been a proper laugh.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime, mate. And we will definitely come and see you in Southend. Have a lovely Christmas. We can start saying that now, can't we? And if people want to keep up the speed with everything that's happening with you and your musical endeavours and such, where's the best place to keep up the speed?
Probably Instagram, really. Slightly embarrassing handle. Ellie is a barnacle is me on Instagram for no reason, but that was my Xbox handle when I was a kid. So yeah, very strange. So I never really have to say it out loud. If anyone asks me, I go, oh, let me just type it in for you. But yeah, so yeah, Ellie is a barnacle. Wonderful. On Instagram. Well, that's where it all is.
If it's all
and
right
obviously,
with you.
Tom Meehan official.
Absolutely. Well, if it's all right with you, we'll tag you in this post when we drop this episode.
Yeah,
so people
tag away.
Can follow you if they're not doing
Give
so.
Give me abuse for this.
Already. Absolutely. Barnacle, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Ellie.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.